Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today is Ash Wednesday. Let me begin this program by reading for you a very short little commentary that a priest, Father Richard Veras from New York, wrote about Ash Wednesday. It touched me very much. I want to share it with you. This is what he says. When I was a young priest, I dreaded Ash Wednesday. I experienced myself as a marked man. I couldn't step outside the rectory or the church without being asked or accosted for ashes. After each mass or service, it seemed that just as I had washed my thumb, somebody else would stick their head into the sacristy with that plaintive smile that always means the same thing on Ash Wednesday. However, with the passing years and passing ashes, I have grown to love this day, not despite, but because of so many of my brother and sister Catholics who returned to the church on this day with such a mysterious but real desire to receive their, in quotation marks, to receive their ashes. What an amazing witness it is. What amazing witnesses they are to the fact that at its core, Christianity is a belonging to Christ who has chosen us and offers his mercy to us. And it is a very public witness. How many of their friends might needle them for those ashes or even ask them why they got ashes if they rarely or never go to church? I would venture to guess it might be hard for them to explain. And thus they and their ashes witness to the deep mystery of Christ among us. Christ is always calling us. Even those who've been away from the church for a long time, he's always calling. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. And part of the heavy burden is our own sin. The ashes are placed on our forehead in the sign of a cross for a reason. Father Veras says the ashes tell the world that we are sinners, but they are in the sign of the cross, and so we are sinners who have hope. On Ash Wednesday, let us thank God for and pray for all of our brothers and sisters who witness to us that this hope does not die. I'm very profoundly touched by how many of the small gestures, and Ash Wednesday isn't really a small gesture, but in other ways, it's a small sign, a black mark on the forehead in the shape of a cross. But what does it say? It says that God has mercy on all those who come to him. He wipes away our sin. There are those of you hearing this program today who have been away from the church for a long time. I think that the Lord is saying, come back to me. Come back to me with all your heart. Don't let fear or anger or hatred or bitterness keep you from me. I am not the source of your pain. I just, brothers and sisters, want to urge all of us today to pray for those. Pray for those who need to come back. And perhaps today they will receive the grace to do it, or somewhere in this next 6 weeks, receive the grace to return to the Lord. Let us pray today for all those who are far from him, that they might return. The first reading on this Ash Wednesday is taken from the book of the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verses 12 to 18. Even now, says the Lord, return to me with your whole heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts, not your garments, and return to the Lord your God. For gracious and merciful is he, slow to anger, rich in kindness, relenting in punishment. Perhaps he will again relent and leave behind him a blessing, offerings and libations for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Proclaim a fast, call an assembly, gather the people, notify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom quit his room and the bride her chamber. Between the porch and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare, O Lord, your people. Make not your heritage a reproach with the nations ruling over them. Why should they say among the people, where is their God? And then the Lord was stirred to concern for his land, and he took pity on his people. If we cry out to the Lord, as the psalm says, full-throated and unsparingly, cry out to the Lord for mercy for ourselves, for those we love, it will be given. God's hand is always wide open. He's gracious. But God won't tolerate hypocrisy. You can't say the right words, and in your mind and heart, you don't intend to change. Lent is one of the most beautiful seasons of the year to, in a sense, capture the grace of God and be captured by his love and mercy toward you so that your whole orientation changes. That's what God wants to do. Then the Lord was stirred to concern for his land and took pity on his people. We need God to have mercy on us. Let us come before him acknowledging our sins, our failures, our weaknesses, not so we're condemned, but so we're set free from the shackles. Think of people in prisons where they have to be chained down, or have been at least in the past chained down. They can't move. That's what our sin does to us. And God wants to break those chains. God wants to set us free. Come back to me with all your heart. Return to me. God will set us free. Psalm 51, be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. I urge you to memorize Psalm 51. I prayed it probably 5 times a day during one Lent, a whole Lenten season. I prayed that psalm over and over again. And what I prayed changed my heart in a more significant way than I had ever known. I thought I was in a pretty good place. And I began to pray this psalm, have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness. In the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin cleanse me. For I acknowledge my offense, and my sin is before me always. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. A clean heart create for me, O God, a steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. Give me back the joy of your salvation, and a willing spirit, willing to do your will, a willing spirit sustain in me. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Make that psalm your own. Memorize it. Pray it. Pray it every day. I think it'll change your life as it did mine. The second reading is from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 20. Brothers and sisters, we are ambassadors for Christ, as if God were appealing through us. See, how often have I said on this program, when your life is in order, that doesn't mean perfect, but when your life is in order, Christ shines through you. You become an ambassador for Christ, as Paul says here. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Whatever sin we commit dims that vision or blots it out, you don't want to stay there. For our sake, he made him to be sin who did not know sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. We might become holy and pure in his sight. And he ends that passage there in chapter 6, verse 2, behold, now is a very acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's what God wants of us, to look at the life that we have been given, to look at the promises of God, and to offer ourselves to God that he may deal with us to set us free from sin. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 6 and 16 to 18. Jesus said to his disciples, take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. we talked about this yesterday too. It's very, very possible to do all the right things for the wrong reasons. We do these acts of virtue in repentance for our sin, but oftentimes we're doing acts of virtue. We hope other people are seeing them so they can say how holy we are, how good we are. Get rid of yourself being the center of your life. You are not the center of your life. God is. That's the way to get rid of hypocrisy. Put God in the center of your life. Worship Him. Serve Him. Honor Him. Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your Heavenly Father. When you give alms, don't blow a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets to win the praise of others. They actually did. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. They've already gotten their reward. It's the praise of other people. It won't last. But when you give alms, do not let even your left hand know what your right is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who have to stand and pray in the synagogues on street corners so that others may see them. Where do you pray? Doesn't mean you have to hide in a closet, but it does mean you have to take a look at what's your motive, your intention. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. When you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, pray to your Father in secret. There's value in that. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you fast, don't look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. So they change their clothes so that people would say, oh my God, how good these people are. They're fasting. Jesus says, don't do that. They've already received their reward. They have the praise of other people. What you want is my gratitude. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face so that you may not appear to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you. Take a look at this, brothers and sisters. Take a look at motive. There are a lot of things I'm saying in the last few days to pay attention to. You can't do them all. Decide on one of them. And let your Lent be a time where you really do experience the beginnings of a freedom and a deeper union with God. Do good things, no matter how small. Do good things for the right reasons. And God will draw very near to you. That's His plan. Make Psalm 51 the psalm you memorize for this Lent. Pray it daily. Pray it several times a day. God, brothers and sisters, wants to help us to be as good a Christian, as good a Catholic as we can be. Yes, for His honor and glory, but also for the salvation of our family, our friends, our co-workers. Please yield to God and His grace within you that many may be saved. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.